So good to see you all. I've never seen Susan so excited.
Oh, yes. Forward.
So you gotta be a liturgist next year
yeah.
when the daylight saving changes. Before I proceed, I'd like to let the people know, if anybody hasn't heard, Marlene is going to move up to Missouri to be with her daughter. Marlene, do you know when you are going to leave? Tuesday? Okay. So she's going to go Tuesday. And please pray for the safe flight. All right. So we extend warm welcome to each and every one of you who are worshiping here and also worshiping via Zoom. And I pray that you will experience God's visit as we worship today together and hear God's voices speaking to you and to your heart. A farmer wanted to train his dog for bird hunting and took him to an obedience school. After several weeks, the farmer went back to pick up his newly trained bird dog and asked the instructor for a demonstration. The two men and the dog went to a nearby field where the dog immediately pointed to a clump of brush, then rolled over twice. "There are two birds in there," the instructor said, and sure enough, two birds were flushed. A minute later, the dog pointed to another bunch of bushes and then rolled over five times. "There are five birds in there," the instructor noted. And indeed, five birds were driven from the brush. Then the dog pointed to a third clump. He began to whine and run in circles until he found the stick, which he shook mightily and dropped at the man's feet. "And in that clump of bush there," the proud instructor concluded, "there are more birds than you can shake a stick at." Dog lovers know what their dogs can do and cannot do, and their expectations vary according to their dog's abilities. Some dogs are very intelligent and can run errands. Some have an extraordinary ability to distinguish smells. Some dogs are just lovely and great companions for people. Maybe Sophie satisfies all those conditions. Becky and I decided to get a Korean dog when our kids were little. We found Lucy, a white female Jindo. She looked lonely, and we added another Korean dog as Lucy's playmate. Harry was a grayish Sapsari, we call it Sapsari, with long hair. Those Korean breeds are known to be very smart, but our dogs weren't. They were just dumb. So we did not expect them to behave intelligently other than to be companions for our kids. Being there with our kids while they went through the early stages of emotional development was all we wanted. We knew our dogs and had low expectations. And they did meet all our expectations. My dogs had no idea how much they meant to our kids. Likewise, people's expectations vary according to their abilities. We find this in the parable of talents. Before leaving for a long journey, a master entrusted different amounts to his servant. The first servant received five talents, the second servant two, and the third servant one. Did the master play favoritism? The parable clearly explains the master's reason behind it. The master gave each servant a different amount because each servant's ability differed. The distribution of various amount, therefore, presupposes two facts. One, the master's knowledge of each servant, and two, the master's kindness in asking what his servants could only handle. The master in the parable points to Jesus and the servants to us, his followers. We all have received talents from Jesus, which can be understood as our crosses from Jesus. How do we customarily understand our crosses? They cause pain and suffering, unpleasant tasks we are not interested in, and burdens that crush us. But our crosses are not all that negative. They have bright sides. We reflected upon it a few Sundays back. We may have thorns, but our thorns have roses too. There is God's grace in our crosses. Where do we see God's grace? Jesus' knowledge of us and our ability. That's the first part of God's grace. And God graciously gives us crosses only within our ability, as the master gave talents according to servants' abilities. Let us dig a little deeper into this truth. James, John, and their mother were very serious about getting promoted to an esteemed political position. A high position comes with big responsibilities. James and John said they could drink the cup Jesus was to drink and took his responsibilities. But they did not have the slightest idea about the cross that Jesus was to carry. It was humanly impossible for any human to undergo the cruelest form of death. That even Jesus cried out in pain, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" Look at how Jesus answered to those three, John, James, and their mother. "You will drink my cup, but sitting at my right and left was not my decision." Apparently, the cup that they were to drink was not the same cup as Jesus. They tried to drink the same cup as Jesus's, but they had their own cups, their own crosses. And Jesus knew their crosses that fit their ability. How much did Jesus know the two brothers? Jesus is God and, of course, knows everything. However, Jesus also knew the two brothers through his family circle. The brothers were Jesus' distant relatives through their mother, who did not appear to be related to Jesus by bloodline. Now, there are several leads available in the three Gospels. And like a puzzle, if you put the information together, the picture of the mother becomes clearer. Matthew says Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Joseph and the mother of the sons of Zebedee watch the crucifixion at a distance. Mark records the presence of the same three women at the cross and also identifies the name of the mother of James and John as Salome. John says Salome was Mary's sister. Salome was one of the devout women who took care of Jesus and Jesus' disciples during the public ministry. Her presence at the cross shows her devotion. And the very root of Salome's devotion goes back to the very fact that Salome was Mary's sister. Salome's family relationship with the Virgin Mary makes Zebedee, Jesus' brother-in-law, and James, John, Jesus' cousins. His family relationship helps construct that Jesus knew James and John from their early childhood. And there are some hints in the gospel about that. You know, John was regarded as the beloved disciples and very close to Jesus. And John was the one who leaned back against Jesus during the Last Supper, sitting right next to him, next to Jesus. And while Jesus was on the cross, Jesus entrusted his mother, Mary, that is John's aunt, to John and said, now she is your mother, take care of her, right? And there was a reason why Jesus asked John to take care of Mary. So if they were Jesus' cousins, that means Jesus would have known them at least, what, about probably more than 20 years when Jesus began his public ministry. He was 30 years old, and I assume that James and John were somewhere around that, maybe in their 20s or a little over 30s. So more than 20 years. Jesus called James and John sons of thunders. The Gospels do not explain why, but Jesus would surely have known their personalities that fit their nickname. After the resurrection, Jesus spoke to Peter about John's death and said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" John's remaining until Jesus' return meant a long life. As Jesus implied, John lived a really long life compared to the rest of the disciples who suffered martyrdom. John was the only one to die from a natural cause when he was 88. You know, 88 was a very long time because the lifespan, average lifespan during John's day was around 35 years. John wrote 5 books in the New Testament, such as John's Gospel and 3 letters. And while in exile in Patmos Island because of his faith, John wrote the book of Revelation. And that's John. He enjoyed a long life, wrote 5 books, and he was very close to Jesus. James, too, was very close to Jesus as a cousin, but John had lived a different kind of life. You know what happened to James? James became the first disciple to suffer martyrdom shortly after the birth of Christ's church. First one to die among 12 disciples. The two brothers came from the same family. They sought the equal privilege of serving Jesus on the right and the left of Jesus' throne. But they were given 2 distinct crosses. We do not know the reason, but can agree that Jesus knew them and that gave them crosses that they could handle. This truth is implied to our crosses as well. Jesus has a perfect knowledge of us and our abilities, and he gives us crosses according to our abilities. Moreover, we can always count on God's grace, which is greater than our crosses. Let's review on Paul's thorn. Paul said he had a thorn that was unbearable to him, so painful in his flesh. So the pain that he experienced through the thorn was the physical one that he felt like a tormenting and weakened his body. And I can just simply imagine the kind of pain that he experienced. The physical pain that was so tormenting and that weakened his body could have immobilized him. You know, I mean, Paul 100% dedicated to the ministry of the gospel. And why didn't God listen to Paul's prayer when he asked not just one, but three times? Right? He could have served the Lord more effectively, more powerfully, but God didn't. And God's answer to Paul's prayer was, "My grace is sufficient for you." However unbearable his cross was, God's grace was sufficient for Paul. Sometimes we feel like that our crosses are way too heavy, are way too painful. However we may feel about our crosses, God still gives us his sufficient grace. We may have a thorn or two that causes a great deal of aching. But let us look at our crosses again through those lenses of God's grace. However painful our crosses may seem, God graciously gives us crosses that we could handle. In Reader's Digest, Jim Williams of Butte, Montana writes the following: "I was driving too fast late one night when I saw the flashing lights of a police car in my rear view mirror. As I pulled over and rolled down the window of my station wagon, I tried to dream up an excuse for my haste. But when the patrolman reached the car, he said nothing. Instead, he merely shined his flashlight in my face, then on my 7-month pregnant wife, then on our snoozing 18-month-old in his car seat, then on our 3 other children who were also asleep, and lastly, on the 2 dogs in the very back of the car. Returning the beam of light to my face, he then uttered the only word of the encounter. 'Son,' he said, 'you can't afford a ticket. Slow it down.' And with that, he returned to his car and drove away. The police officer quickly learned that the young husband had big financial obligations, and out of kindness, he decided not to add any more financial burden to him. And our God works just like that. There is God's grace in our crosses. God knows us inside and out. He knows what we can and cannot undergo. God would not allow crosses if they are beyond our ability. And God's grace is always much greater than our crosses. Amen.